Welcome to the Circle Sessions featuring the Circle of Experts. Each week, one of the Circle of Experts joins me to talk about critical aspects of growing your podcast. The Circle of Experts are Yasmin Robles and Izzy Dadosky from Rebel Marketing, Tanisha English Amamu of TJE Communications, and Don the Idea Guy. I'm Brett Johnson, my podcast guy from Circle 270 Media Podcast Consultants. This week, Yasmin and Izzy are here. They work alongside clients to design a website that's driven by strategy, looks amazing, and that you can use to grow your podcast, and then in turn, your business as well. Yasmin and Izzy, thanks for joining me today.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
Your idea for today's episode really it kind of hits at the core, I think, of why you really want a website. Is that you want clicks, you want people to enjoy what you put on there, you want conversion, whatever it might be, but you want items on that website, the content, as you put it, content that clicks, crafting websites for podcasters and entrepreneurs. And there are some things you have to really kind of do a checklist on, correct? I mean, when it comes down to, you just can't slop something up that you hope that people will find and strategically place, and just a whole bunch of different things to this. But you had right off the top saying, you know, starting with a clear purpose of why you have it. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, we're all websites cost some kind of money, right? The hosting or the domain name, at least. And you get to think about why you're going to use this podcast or this website. And so if you are a podcaster, it's probably to get the name out there, to help people find a home base or to find out more about your podcast. Eventually, hopefully you get paid for that. And if it's a podcast for your business, you might already have a business website and are thinking about adding your podcast to it. So think about it just like your podcast. Your podcast has a purpose, whether that is providing information and you give a call to action and you want to get clients out of it, whether you want to share stories or journeys of entrepreneurs. You have a purpose for the podcast. Now you get to have a purpose for your website. I recommend having one primary goal for your website. So if you just have a podcast and the website is for this podcast, what is the number one thing that you really want your go-to people to get out of it or to do on this website? Is it to binge on episodes or is it to sign up for an email list? Like, what is that number one thing? Booking clients or just maybe even resharing the episodes, because once you know that, it can dictate how you lay everything out. It can dictate the pop-ups or the freebie, the lead magnet. It'll really help structure that layout and what the people see first.
And I think from what you're saying too, it helps you refine what your call to action is in your episodes, because it has to match. Yes, you can include the call to action button, or actually not button, but the link or whatever in show notes. But a lot of people are going to want you to go to the website. And if you make it really hard for them to follow up on that call to action that you so highly encourage them to do, and you can't find it, then there's the mismatch. There's the frustration. So yeah, I like your point of one point. And if it is, if there is a call to action in your podcast, make sure it's somewhere on there, you know, if you're adding or deleting that too. You mentioned next is headlines. Talk about what the headlines, what that has to do with a website.
Yeah. So think of your site or the written content of your site as created for both the laziest person in the room, as well as the person who has a little bit more time to read through everything, right? Yeah. So if you, not saying that it's from experience, but if you were ever told to read a book over the summer and you didn't do it, and now school is starting again, and you're kind of skimming through the book, trying to get the idea of it. I mean, nowadays with ChatGPT, that might be a little different, but you're trying to skim through the book, right? This is back in the day, and you're looking for headlines for the chapter titles. So think of your homepage or even the rest of the site as, what headlines can I place so that if they only read the headlines, they can kind of get an idea of the vibe, the type of people that we work with, and what services I offer. So if you look at our site, My Rebel Marketing, or if, even if you look at Brett's site, right? Ideally, you would read all of those headlines and say, okay, cool. Brett helps business owners become badass at podcasting, right? He helps take away all of that, the clutter that gets in the way of creating an amazing podcast. So you want them to take that away through headlines, and you want them to be compelling. Now there is, I will say, for my SEO lovers, a battle, right? So if you are a Columbus, Ohio based company, you might want to insert Columbus, Ohio into the headline or into multiple headlines, but you don't want to sound robotic and you don't want it to distract from the main idea. You can get those elements in within the body copy or in other ways, yeah. Not just having to stuff them in there and then it sounds off.
Right. I know I just went through a revision with you on the website, full disclosure, I work with Yasmin on my website. Things change over time too. I mean, headlines change. I mean, initially I did not want to really focus on the support systems that we use through Circle 270 Media, meaning audio editing, video editing, audio recording, video recording, because I didn't want my business to come off as a production company. Mm. Well, we do that though. So why am I not telling people, as well as I can lightly put it in there, that it doesn't come off that is the only thing we do? Because there is some SEO juice to that, yeah. of people truly searching for that pain point, editing, recording, but it also turns into other support that we can do for a podcaster. And I'm sure the same for your website too.
Yeah, I completely agree. And if you do some research, whomever the listener, if you do research into how your clients found you, what maybe you do a little bit of SEO research, how are they searching? For example, yes, production is a big, it's like what triggers people about hiring someone. But then you can layer on, okay, well, I also do strategy and I help you with X, Y, and Z. So for websites, it could be that they say, wow, my website looks like it was made 15 years ago by my cousin's best friend's uncle, someone, right? Who was just starting out. And for us, that's great. It could just be a refresh, right? We're just fixing up the website. But then we can layer on, okay, have you thought about SEO? Have you thought about lead magnets? How's your social media going? What's that strategy look like that will tie everything together so it doesn't feel disjointed? Same thing with your podcasting website.
Right. Your next point, focusing on audience needs. It's funny that you say that, or that's the next point, because I had a client that wanted me to take a look at her website to kind of go, hey, I haven't touched it in a long time. What do you think about it? Just for an extra set of eyes. And one thing it did dawn on me looking at it was she mentioned a lot of, she had the word you in there a lot, that it, you know, the website was addressing me as the reader saying you. And I think it blends right into what you want to talk about here, is focusing on audience needs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that you content is great. Mm-hmm. And knowing how they talk about their pain points. So I use this example a lot. If you are a personal trainer, you're going to speak very differently to, let's say, that mom that wants to get back into her skinny jeans versus somebody who wants to become a bodybuilder. Your language changes, the tone of voice, the tone of the brand might change. So you need, and the way you describe the problem will change. So you want to make sure that all the content is focused on the audience and what they need, how they describe the issue. If it is for your podcast, and let's say it's a podcast about losing weight, you're going to speak a different way than if it's a podcast for somebody who wants to become a bodybuilder. So think of it very similarly to the content written on your site.
Right. And if your website is, you walk into going, hey, Yasmin, all I want to do is really spotlight my episodes and contact information, just three or four elements, your next point is designed for simplicity and clarity. I've seen podcast websites that are junky and that's all they're looking to do. And it still is a hot mess in regards to the layout. It really is. And it's like, okay, you're only dealing with three or four elements, but you still, somebody designed a website that's horrible in regards to the look of it. And so talk about some simplicity and clarity aspects of putting that website together.
Yeah. So let's say, let's go with the trying to keep it simple. Maybe you're DIYing it and you're just starting out, or you're just busy, right? And you just want something simple. Try to use a really clean layout there, and you can get inspiration from other maybe competitors, even other websites. Maybe they don't have a podcast, but you really like how they laid out their blog page or their homepage, or you went on a shopping page and you really liked how the images were displayed. Yeah. Try to keep it as simple as possible. It's okay that you don't have things that fade in or jump in or whatever. Keep it as clean and simple. Focus on that hero section. That's the topmost section. You can call it above the fold, but it's the first thing that people will see when your site loads. And that headline gets to be short, sweet, to the point. This is what I do. This is what the podcast is about. Click here to listen to the latest episode. Make sure the navigation, if you have more than one page, is really intuitive. Just keep it simple. If it's the about page, call it about. If it's the contact page, call it contact. You don't have to name it learn more about me. That's really long. You can just keep it as simple as possible. And then make sure you have clear call to actions. People, again, if you're designing for a lazy person, they want to know where they're going. I drive around Columbus and I've lived here a long time. And still sometimes I will put the GPS. So I need guidance on how to get there, even if I've been there before. So those buttons, those CTAs will help navigate to where you want them to go. So whether that is signing up for your mailing list, listening to the next podcast episode, if you're looking to be pitched to, make sure that's an easy call to action. Or if you're looking for guests, make sure that's easy to find as well.
Right. And you make a really good point. When I first started working with podcasters 11 years ago, I was, in the mindset that I was going to help independent podcasters make money, monetize their podcast, try to find advertising for them and such. And I got off that bandwagon very quickly, because most independent podcasters at that point in time, they had no contact information at all. So, I mean, whether they were interested or not to accept monetization, if you don't want it, then definitely don't put stuff on your website. But if you're asking and you do want to monetize and you're complaining about not making money and there's no way to contact you, well, that's your fault. So, honestly, it's gotten better, but it was a lesson learned very quickly for me that it's that, okay, you can really see the intent of a podcaster, of an entrepreneur, whatever, by how they put their website together and what they're missing and what they've included. Your next point I love is showcasing your best content. That is probably one thing creators don't do. They don't think about it because they're just in that hamster wheel, churn, and they really don't think about spotlighting some really good stuff that they've done. And I please expand on this. This is a great idea.
Yeah. So let's take podcasting. We have all been part of a podcast or interviewed someone, or just it's been an off day and you get to launch that episode, but it might not be one of your best, right? You're going to launch it, but it's not the best one, might not be the best topic, or it might be a topic that's done, right? So if you are podcasting about AI, something from 3 months ago might or might not still be relevant. Yeah. So think of blogs and how they will sometimes have or even retail, right? When you go to an e-commerce site, they'll on the homepage, they will showcase their quote unquote best sellers or what's really hot right now. They might choose, they might have their own criteria for choosing that. It could be that they are the best sellers. It could be that they're just featured. But you can do the same thing with your website. So if you are placing your podcast episodes, it could be a blog format. You don't have to call it a blog. You can also tag them as featured and then pull that tag onto your homepage. You can do this with a lot of different platforms, but that way you can highlight the ones that you want to highlight, the best ones, the ones where you had the most energy, you had the most coffee. You can do the same thing, and I really suggest doing it, for services and anything else that you really want people to see immediately. So on your homepage, it is, I'd say it's a summary of all of your awesomeness, but it is also a little bit about you, maybe some about your podcast, a little bit about your services. a couple call to action sprinkled throughout. If you are really, really trying to get noticed and on other people's podcasts, make sure that on the homepage, you can have a button that says, want me to speak, or whatever else you might want to put on there. And then that way it can lead to a media kit. It can lead to your about page where you talk about what topics you are most willing to speak on. Yeah. So showcase, really highlight your best content and what you want people to see first. Expect them to be lazy and skip through and maybe not even, and you might feel like, hey, my bio is already on the about page. Why do I need a smaller bio on the homepage? Because people are lazy.
Right.
They might not even go to the about page. So just think of it that way.
Yeah. I was going to say, you know this better than I do, but I'm assuming the about page may be, it's obviously the most underutilized page, but a lot of people don't go there. So maybe the last, it's, you know, depending on the heat map, maybe the last link that they're, you know, tab that they hit.
Actually, it's depending on the business, it might be the opposite.
Okay.
Yeah. But yeah. I still suggest having, for example, on the homepage, having a short bio and then saying something like read more about Brett.
Right.
On the about page, you want to make sure that maybe you elaborate a little bit on your experience. You can elaborate on your, maybe even have a section of like fun facts about Brett, right? Mm-hmm. His favorite coffee or whatever. If you have a larger business with a team, I really suggest you have some kind of headshots. It's really odd sometimes going onto a website, looking for someone to hire or to promote. Maybe I want them to speak on our podcast and they don't have any headshots. I don't know what they look like. And it's not a thing about like, are they aesthetically pleasing to look at? It's more about, are they a real person? could this possibly be AI? And so make sure you have some kind of headshot. It can be taken with a cell phone. Cell phones are great now. You can take it on with a simple backdrop, window lighting, and just make sure, because it also, people trust you, right? So if you have a podcast, you're asking people to be a guest or you want to speak on other podcasts and you have a business, there's a lot of trust that goes in there. Mm-hmm. So you want to make sure that is being cultivated throughout the site.
Yeah. I asked a realtor once, why do realtors have pictures on their signs? I mean, it didn't make any sense. And the answer was the trust factor. Mm-hmm. It's that they're a person that you kind of almost, it's that first barrier breakdown of like, oh, I saw your picture on that mm-hmm. sort of thing. So there is something to that, even though it's just a glancery look and it's like, okay, it's a glam photo per se, you know, that sort of thing that you had done for LinkedIn, but it's that first look at, okay, this is what this person looks like. You at least kind of quasi introduced yourself to a certain degree. Mm-hmm. Your next point of doing some visual storytelling. We've talked a lot about using images and I know there's some nuances to how to do that and what is best to use. Let's talk a little bit. Probably can never talk enough about it. That's for sure, because it's always a good reminder of how to incorporate that into your website.
Yeah. So if you have the budget, I would say try to budget, and it depends on your business and your podcast, but try to budget about once a year, some kind of brand photo shoot. It could be just a 30-minute thing. If you have a bigger team or like us, we're a marketing agency, we definitely need to have our brand photos done a lot more often than other businesses. And ours are a little bit more quirky than most other businesses as well, because again, we are a marketing agency. But I would say if you have a budget, it could be a 30-minute like just refresh of maybe you sitting at your desk with a podcast microphone, things that you can, that are a bit evergreen that you can reuse on thumbnails. If you're posting these things on YouTube, on social media, and you're just, it's evergreen go-to images, and then you can use them on your website as well. If you don't have a budget for like a yearly brand shoot, that is completely fine. You can also use stock images. There are a couple of places, free places like pexels.com, Unsplash. There are other paid sources that you can go to. There's one that's really cool, Death by Stock Image, I think it's called. So there's a couple of them out there. I just want to make sure people understand that they have to be cohesive. So if one image is very dark and gloomy, they all get to be dark and gloomy. Mm-hmm. You don't want it to be too weird. You want it also to maybe avoid some tech. So for example, some people might still have a flip phone on their website. If they didn't choose the correct stock photo, try not to have like make it too obvious that there's tech, like laptops, things like that. Right. And then I would say try to keep it simple, try to keep it cohesive. The color scheme, try to keep it about the same. If it's possible, find that same creator of one stock image and see if they have others that are the same, because each stock photographer will have their own style.
Yeah. That's a good point. And thought about that, but I know it seems as though stock images are much more prevalent, and there are many, many more websites that have them available than they used to, compared to 5 years ago, which is good because you can pick and choose and probably pick something. It's decent and may fit what you want, but also I've noticed to be aware that, okay, if you're looking for, you know, the search term money in an Unsplash, sure that's currency you deal in, you know, I mean, you know, coins or whatever, unless there's a point you're trying to make that it's a foreign coin, that's whatever the case might be. Just, I know it should be obvious, but don't download too quickly and think that, oh, wait a minute, that was not a dollar bill. That was some foreign currency. Yeah. Just make sure, you know, just double check.
The other one that gets me real quick, if anyone is a lawyer or has sometimes accountants, they always have like the city skyline. Yeah. And sometimes it's the same stock photo as their competitor. So if we're in Columbus, Ohio. So if you're a lawyer in Columbus, Ohio, please double check your website. It might still have the Columbus skyline. And we get it, you're in Columbus, but there's other ways of showcasing that. And it's not like if you swap out that image, it'll ding your SEO. Like the robots are not able to see what the image is about. Right. So just look at your industry and see what everyone has. If everyone has a skyline of your city, maybe you should swap that one out.
Yeah, exactly. Your next point of making it personal kind of goes back to that image of you, you know, trying to use a picture of yourself, but also on the website, as you mentioned, you know, share a story or some things that you've done to make yourself relatable as they're reading the webpage.
Yeah. So I would say even if you have a team of 20, people love the behind the scenes. They love to see the timeline. If you've been around for 10 years, what does that timeline look like? Where were the, maybe if you want to share the hiccups, but what were the big milestones that you hit? So share your story, some behind the scenes insights. Like we went through a rebrand. We changed our name. We didn't really change our colors or anything, but we did change the logo because of the name. And so what was that behind the scenes like, or why did we change the name? There has to be a reason. Right. You can share testimonials and social proof is what we call it, to build trust and connect with people more. It's even better if you can get a video of somebody saying that you're awesome. It's not just you saying that you're awesome. There's some proof, something to back you up. And then connect emotionally with your audience. I know some business owners or podcasters might not want to, for example, share some personal details. You don't have to get too personal, but for example, if you became a nurse because of something that happened with your family, you can, it could just be a one sentence thing and people will be drawn in. You know, they feel that connection and they feel like you're a human and you've been through something that they might have gone through, or they know someone that went through it, and they're more apt to trust you. People just like the tea. They like gossip too.
Yeah. Well, you know, you're kind of laying some cookies along your website that it's trackable, that if somebody mentions like, I read on your website that you fill in the blank, you kind of know, oh, they read my website, you know, they read the about page. So maybe, and like you said, it doesn't necessarily have to be the personal, the deep down stuff, but it's one of those, hey, I want to place this here and this here and see if anybody catches it.
Yeah. Well, I would like to share too, like, I could just place that I'm an agency owner, right? Mm-hmm. But I do share that I am Latina. I am a mom. I've been a surrogate. And so I've gotten opportunities to speak on being an entrepreneur, but also being Latina, or being an entrepreneur and a parent, and how do you juggle that? And so if you are pitching to speak and there is, your bio or your about page shows a little bit of that personality, that might be what they're looking for. They don't want just another cookie cutter agency owner. They want somebody who, you know, who has a community or has been a surrogate. That's really interesting, right? She's been a surrogate. Yeah. Maybe we can have her on this mompreneur podcast because it's a different take. So make sure. So those are sort of personal, but still not too personal.
Yeah.
Right. And can help the business move forward.
Well, it's a conversation starter. You know, just thinking about myself too, since you shared about that. I mean, I didn't start my solo business, entrepreneur business, until I was 50. And that's kind of unusual for a lot of people. You know, basically you kind of look at like, I'm 50, I'm going to fill, you know, finish out my career with whatever I'm doing, working for the man, quote unquote. But that's a conversation starter that it's like, wow, like you started 50, your business at 50, yeah. You know? Yeah.
And you're only like 50, 51 now, right?
Exactly. So, you know, I jammed 10 years into one, yeah. You know, right. Or 9 years. I won't get myself into 60 yet. So your next point of optimizing for mobile, I think mm-hmm. we're so used to thinking that it automatically does it, that yeah. some formats or designs for a website, they don't. So yeah, we'll talk a little bit more about that.
Yeah, it's gotten a lot better. A lot of platforms, once you place content, they will try to reorganize it. But I would suggest you still take a look at mobile. Squarespace, Shopify is a good some WordPress themes are pretty good. They will reorganize things, but sometimes, for example, there might be an image that is just decorative, right? So on desktop, it looks small, it's decorative, it's not really that important. But then when it tries to rearrange it on mobile, it looks large. It's way too large. It's way drawing too much focus. So we've gotten better. I still see some sites that need a little bit of tweaking on mobile, and it's the last thing we want to do, right? If you're DIYing it, you're putting all your images up, all of your content, and then you just want to be done with it, just take a few seconds and look at the website on mobile, see if there's anything that needs to be tweaked, and because it's sometimes a little weird, especially for podcasting. I feel like podcasting and certain other businesses, people will look for you on their phone. And you don't want to feel embarrassed about that.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. Our next item to talk about, and we talked a little bit about it earlier. I mean, it can falls under that call to action and calls to action is to integrate those lead magnets. And lead magnet is sometimes put in the vein of selling something, but it doesn't necessarily have to be. It's one of those, it's a call to action. It's a gauge on your listeners' interest in what you have to offer. And you made, let's talk a little bit more about that.
Yeah. So although I build websites and we do a tons of different marketing, I think email, building up your email list is one of the, it's gold, right? So if Facebook were to go away, you still have their email address. Mm-hmm. Your website goes down and you're still selling. You could technically still sell your merch via email. So I would say, integrate that as soon as possible, even if you're just emailing once a month, just an update on what podcast episodes have gone out or what you've been up to. And then try not to, as much as possible, not to just say, sign up for our email list or sign up for our mailing list. Try to give something of value and lead with the value. And then you can say, you'll also get, you know, monthly emails mm-hmm. about SEO from us. So you can offer something like a checklist, a PDF, some resources. You might have exclusive podcast episodes that you can share with them, something in exchange for their email address. So they're trusting you not to spam them. They want value. And then this can be a jumping off point. If let's say a year from now, 2 years from now, you want to start a membership group, you want to launch something else. Yeah. These folks have trusted you. They've gotten to know you. They know that you provide value, whether it's every month, every week, when they get that newsletter, they're going to be more apt to buy those conference tickets and, mm-hmm. Or buy whatever affiliate things that you're sending out.
Yeah, I agree. And here's your chance to get nerdy, geeky. I don't know what term you use for this, but it's the Google Analytics, the meat and potatoes behind how your website is being used. Talk about those tools.
Yeah. So let's say you've done all the things, and just like your podcast episodes, you want to see the downloads go up and the listeners and everything. You want to also check your numbers for Google Analytics. There's Google Search Console. Those two are free. Hotjar has a free option. Hotjar records what people do on the site, and it'll also give you screenshots of like a visual of where they click, how far down on the page they'll scroll. And I'm not saying you have to check these every week or every month, but install them so you can have historical data. And let's say you are doing your end of year retreat to really prep for the next year or a quarterly thing, you can then look at that data and pivot your business or your podcast depending on what it's telling you. So if, for example, you're blogging and you see that the top blog posts are about, I don't even know, Squarespace, mm-hmm. right? That's what you're getting the most traffic or organic traffic on.
Right.
Maybe you can focus on that for your next couple of episodes. But if you say, wow, that episode got a lot of traffic and I hate that. What did I do during that episode that drew so many people, and how can I replicate it for the other ones?
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So I think you put it in the right vein. They're tools. Not to live or die by, but it's information that you can use to kind of figure out where you're going with things and such too. So yeah, we touched on a lot of different things here. If a listener wants to get a hold of you and talk about all of it or one or two pieces that's like, these two, I know I don't have it in line. How can they get a hold of you? And Izzy too. I know Izzy couldn't make it today.
Yeah, she missed out. You can get a hold of us at myrebelmarketing.com. We do offer a free workbook. It's at myrebelmarketing.com/checklist. It'll go through a lot of the different aspects of marketing, almost like a little audit, so that you can fill it in and see what was harder to fill in or what you weren't able to fill in. And that way you can see where the gaps are and pivot your business as needed. But we're always open to chatting. And there's a couple of resources on our website as well, some videos. Brett has helped us with our own podcast. So you can find that Market Like It's Hot on there as well. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And you can get a hold of me at mypodcastguy.com. That is my scheduling page. We do offer podcast audits, which can be of any nature. You know, if there are just aspects of your podcast that aren't clicking the way you want to, we'll take a look at it that way, or we do a holistic look at what is going on. And that will probably include your marketing and your website support for that podcast. So we may be pulling in a Tanisha, part of the Circle Sessions, or, you know, part of Izzy or Yasmin on the website and social media piece of it too. Everybody adds to the flavor of this, but we've got the support systems in play that if you're looking to improve or just do something a little bit different with your podcast, but you don't know where, get an extra pair of set of eyes and ears through we at the Circle Sessions members, and we'll get it done for you. But you can go to mypodcastguy.com. Yasmin, thanks again for joining me.
Yeah, thank you for having me.